Picard, just blow up the damn ship!
The line must be drawn here!
No, you're supposed to say... Now. That's later. You're supposed to go, no!
Oh.
No! Then break something. Preferably glass. The Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 9th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ashguy.
Hello.
Or AJ, if you would like to know his real name.
Yeah, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. And we're also joined by our good friend, David Wynn.
Hey.
That's not much of an intro, David.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what else you would have done. Yeah. Anyways, here's what we're doing today. We're going to start off with the news. Then we're going to go into the Great American Ashguy Gaming Quiz. And then we'll do either or, which is, I give two things. Both these guys here, they're going to have to pick one or the other. There's a lightning round. I grade them on points. There will be a winner. It's great. Then we're going to do part two of our game of the year, so it'll be our number four picks. I don't know how we're going to do this with David. Maybe David can just tell us what his favorite game of the year
was. Yeah, I
was
going to say, we'll just have our guests tell us their game of the year choice.
Yeah, sure. There we go. What other games they also enjoyed. I imagine with David it'll be something amusing. Off the wall.
No. Probably something you haven't played.
Yeah, exactly. Then I'll yell at you for what it should be. And then we'll do our weekend gaming, talk about what we played and whatnot, and then do the releases for the week, which finally there are more releases. So why don't we get started then?
Okay. So the first article we have is Nintendo shut down the Hero of Time Zelda fan movie. Which brings me to the wider topic, I guess. Like, do you think, there's really a point to that?
I don't think there's a point to it, but I can't say I care. These fan movies and these fan trailers and all that stuff, these are always almost terrible. But they're always put on these blogs. They're always on Kotaku and Joystick because there's, a decent amount of editing or something into it. And I never understand the appeals of these things.
I just feel like... Unless
to watch a feature-length... fan-made Zelda movie, that is not high on my to-do list at all.
I just understand why Nintendo shut down. Unless they have plans for a Zelda movie, this is basically free advertising for them.
No, I'm sure it's in the back of their mind that a Zelda movie might happen someday. Yeah. I don't know.
Nah, I think it has more to do with the fact that they're legally obligated to protect their copyrights. If they don't actively do it, they'll lose the rights to that.
Right.
Okay. EA has announced this week that they're shutting down online support for a bunch of older sport titles, and one not-so-old one. They're actually yanking the plug on the online play for Madden 09.
Oh, interesting.
Do you feel like that's too soon to kill online component of a year-and-a-half-old game?
Well, yes. Kind of, but so many people are up... I mean, you know, it's another way to convince people to upgrade. It makes... Makes
it's a way
good
to convince
business
me not
sense.
To buy their games.
Well,
yeah,
no
it
one
makes
watches.
Business
if you're,
sense.
If
it
you
also
wanna,
is kind of
you're
a dick move.
If you're a Madden fan, you're going to buy their games, probably.
Yeah, but the message it's sending out is, if you buy this game and you don't buy it next year as well, you're not going to be able to play it online anymore.
Right. And what I'm saying is, I bet that'll sadly transfer to more money for them than less.
Yeah, I think it's a dick move.
What's interesting about this is, Chris was telling me, there's some the NBA 2007 game or something is getting unplugged, and there's an achievement in that game where you 1,000 people need to be online at the same time, so everybody's trying to get together one push to do that so they can get the achievement before the servers go down.
Achievement wars of the world unite.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like that one Burnout Revenge achievement. Right when 360 came out, they ported that up to 360, and that was when people still hadn't quite gotten the hang of achievements, and they made one where you had to have the number one ranked video in the world for at least 3 seconds. So, about 10 people maybe got that achievement.
Oh, man.
You can hold that's rough. A trophy.
Okay. We have confirmation of Dragon Age Origins Awakening.
By the way, this is another case of you watching a trailer for something, and it's a completely the most basic standard trailer you can imagine, but you're freaking out about it anyways.
Because I love Dragon Age.
So what?
Much.
That doesn't mean you have to freak out over the trailer. It's just hey, look, it's more Dragon Age. You don't have to be like, that's so cool.
It is cool. Because
it's only kind of cool.
The main villain is a darkspawn that could think and speak
now,
and reason.
Okay, and how are they going to do this exactly? I didn't realize that this was going to be a continuation. You know, for a lot of people, the main character ain't around anymore.
I don't know.
Spoilers. It better not be a Fallout 3 style, just total kind of, you know, what's the word?
Retcon.
Retcon, yeah.
Or just
more negative.
Like, oh, damn it, what's the word?
When you back out of something, like a wuss.
Removing all the consequences from any action they had in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
like that.
I don't like it.
Sure.
But anyway, it'll be a $40 retail disc that'll come out in March.
It's that big? $40.
Yeah, it's not like 15 to 20 hours, they're saying.
Okay, well, apparently Dragon Age was 90 hours.
Also,
too,
from what I was reading, it doesn't have to be played after the main quest. Like, you could plug this in and play it in the middle of a save file, and everything will carry back and forth.
What?
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah.
But the plot was making clear references to the end of the game.
I didn't get that either. Maybe
that makes no sense.
I think it was Kotaku who said that. Maybe they're incorrect on that, but that's what it said, which is kind of weird.
I feel like...
Maybe it's just
like
a fever dream that you experienced during the game.
Yeah.
I feel like expansion packs are sort of a relic.
But, I mean,
they don't work now, because now they get compared to all this DLC. And it's hard to tell the difference, and there's concessions made, and I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, just as much as Dragon Age was, a lot of people said, that spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, the Throne of Baal expansion, was considered better than Baldur's Gate 2. It's very possible that this is a similar situation.
I hope so, but I just feel like we're going to see a lot. How about that probably came out at least like a year or so after that game, or probably 2 years, really. That game came out. This seems like a pretty
quick
turnaround. I think we're going to see a lot of reused resources. I don't know.
Also, the day they made this announcement official is the day that they announced that the Return to Ashtagard DLC was delayed indefinitely. I mean, not too long, but we don't know exactly when it's coming.
That's more of like the Fallout 3 model DLC that I also hate.
Okay, real quick. Throne of Baal came out June 21st, 2001. And Baldur's Gate proper came out September 24th, 2000. So, it's about 9 months, 10 months.
Less than I would have thought. I was just kind of thinking the Blizzard model, where usually it is like about a year.
Right. Where'd my news go? There you are. Hello. Okay, so moving on from there to an interview with Iwata, where he dropped two things. First of all, he's saying that the new Wii Zelda is going to come out in 2010, which I would not have thought, but hey, whatever. He also talked a little bit about the possible successor to the DS2, which such revelating information as it'll have highly detailed graphics. Shocking. And it'll have a motion sensor, which is also shocking. It's possible that this would have better graphics than the Wii.
I think that...
Actually, that's very possible. Why not?
Well, why not? Because that... It's the same reason that the DS looks kind of crappier than the PSP, is because their general hardware philosophy for handhelds is to use withered technology so that they can make the hardware inexpensive, easy to develop for, all those good things.
But he said highly detailed graphics.
Yeah, he also said that when you look at a Wii game, you're going to say, wow.
Touche.
I said
also,
it once.
Let's face it, a DS2 ain't happening anytime soon. They're still selling a shit ton of
DS. It's going to have to happen kind of soon.
I think these are going to be the glory years. I mean, Dragon Quest IX just came out in Japan. That's the beginning of hopefully a new wave for them. Hopefully a more hardcore wave.
I don't know. I still
think
that's
going
to
make DS2
down.
Happen sooner rather than later. Is if we were talking that a PSP2 happens this year, and it's really good.
Look, here's why a DS2 is going to happen, because the system will probably be profitable for them. There's a lot of money to be made with it, no matter how well the DS is still doing.
Right.
The Game Boy Advance was still doing fine when the DS came out. And remember, they were backing away a lot when the DS came out. Well, it's not really a successor to the Game Boy Advance. So in case the DS failed, they could just keep making Game Boy Advance games.
Well, to be fair, Nintendo was also up shit creek whenever they were doing that. They had no money.
Right. That was a
different
time.
They were sucking.
Their NES vault was finally running out.
Mm-hmm.
Now they replace it with their Wii money.
I think they need to expand.
Next, we have news that they've figured out a way to make Blu-rays bigger. They're going to hold 33.4 gigabytes up from 25,
oh, good.
Which means a dual-layer Blu-ray would hold 66.8.
It's a Blu-ray ray.
Yes. Ooh, I like that.
Show name confirmed.
There you go.
Yeah, good job. And then two items out of CES from Microsoft. First, we have Natal is confirmed for a holiday 2010 release. As was supposed by some people, that it wasn't for sure, but it was understood that the original Natal prototypes had a sort of processor built into them to handle the translation of the image data into the 3D skeleton. That processing is being offloaded onto the 360's one of three cores, where it's going to take about 10 to 15% of the processing power, but for whatever reason, because it'll better handle the data, it's basically taking up an entire core. Which kind of sucks, because that means if you're making a Natal game, or a game that's using Natal, you don't have full access to the 360. I can't say I'm a fan of this decision, but I guess it's like how they're going to keep the cost of the Natal itself down.
Can I just say, all these new motion controllers, the Sony, whatever the hell it's called, the Gem, and
it doesn't really have a name,
yeah,
but
whatever.
Yeah.
The Sony Natal motion controller.
Yeah. These are like the new Sega CD 32X add-ons.
Pretty much.
I don't think anybody's going to buy them.
The Natal was going to be for 2010 what the PSP Go was for 2009.
Ooh, a bold claim.
It will. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. You can't... Sony tried this basically already with the Eye toy on the PS2. It was like, well, we're going to make it more casual. No, it didn't happen. You can't just you can't release an add-on and make your system more casual. Especially when that market is so heavily cornered by Nintendo right now.
And in another respect, it's also, they're dividing the user base. And for the last, I don't know how many years, we've learned that that's always a bad idea. Nintendo got screwed with that in Japan with the Famicom Disk System. Sega got screwed with it with the 32X, Sega CD, so on and so forth. It's just a long line of splitting the user base and not being a good idea.
I will think they might sell a lot of Natals at first. Is because there's a lot of 360 owners out there, and it'll be hyped as the next thing, and people get them. I think interest is going to die out really quickly, though. I still need to see a Natal game. I haven't seen one yet. Right. I've seen Natal toys. I want to see something that I would actually think I could buy as a disc. So far, it would seem like anything I would use on the Natal, I would expect to buy for $5 on Xbox Live.
You think we'll see more of those games at E3?
I can't, but here's my problem. I can't imagine what a Natal game is. What is a real game with that?
I don't know.
It won't be Milo, because that was all bullshit.
Even if it does take off in a way, it'll still be novelty games for at least the first 2 years.
I want to see Milo at E3, damn it. I want to see Milo, and I want to see him, you know, talk about my fucking day and shit. Otherwise,
by the way, Milo is the Sega CD parallel that's going to be the new Night Trap, and senators are going to complain about how it promotes pedophilia.
There we go.
Is it going to have a kick-ass music video segment?
I hope so.
Yes. And then the other thing Microsoft announced is this thing called Game Room, which I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's like a virtual space that's basically a little arcade that you can make with your avatar.
You know what this sounds
like?
With
actual arcade units. Home?
Yeah, it sounds like home.
It sounds like home is focused on gaming, though.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I still
I
don't understand the point.
Since they're limiting it, it could be a little less sucky, but I still don't see the point.
Yeah, basically, you stock your little arcade up with actual arcade games and Atari 2600 games and a television game so far.
See,
where you can either buy the machine and plop it in for like $5, or you can actually pay 50 cents a play. 40 Microsoft points and just play a game once.
Now, see, the only way this would be really cool is if, like, the catalog of possible arcade machines was, like, you know, hundreds.
It's like, really could, big,
it's
right?
Like, it's like 30 or 50.
Which isn't bad to start.
But it would be cool if I could say, okay, I want Mortal Kombat 2 in there. There's Mortal Kombat 2. I want Time Pilot in there. There's Time Pilot. I can just say, you know, I could think of almost any game that I can remember playing in the arcade in the 90s, and I could put it in my arcade. That would be cool, and there would be something neat about that. You could even make something kind of like a sim game out of it. You know, do something almost like those old Roller Coaster Tycoon theme park games. This just sounds like it'll be kind of more like home than anything actually neat. You know what I did like? Remember those Namco arcade museum collections on the PlayStation?
Oh, yeah. It those was almost really like neat. Sonic Jam.
Right, yeah, because it was like that museum element to it, and like everything was a little like too clean and creepy and pristine. It had an interesting atmosphere to it.
Yeah. I also like the idea of just like virtual museums, for especially for gaming. I wish more people would pick up on that.
Yeah, I haven't even really seen one since Sonic Jam, and that was really cool.
Yeah, because that also had like little bits of history and story and whatever else, in addition to like bits of artwork.
Right, you had the artwork, the movies, the ads. You found codes and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
What else, Edge Guy?
That's really all I've got.
Okay, fail. You've missed the biggest news story of the week.
I did.
Yeah. NBA Jam is coming back.
Oh, fuck me. I forgot to write that down.
NBA Jam being revised by EA Sports.
It's not 100% confirmed.
It is right here. I think this just happened. NBA Jam created. What do you mean it's not confirmed? It was on ESPN of all things.
Yeah, they got it from an inside source. It wasn't a confirmation.
Well, now the word is that EA Vancouver has signed the creator of the original NBA Jam.
Oh, what do you know? This should just post. Yeah. Shit. Okay, so yeah. NBA Jam creator officially hired by EA Sports is a Kotaku headline. Supposedly this is going to be coming to the Wii. Although I think it should really be a downloadable title on 360 and PSN.
It might be a downloadable title on the Wii. I mean, I don't
they
know.
Better let me play as Barack Obama with a giant head.
Right. I know, that's the thing. I mean, if they do this right, that's great.
I want it to be like Mega Man 9 and Mega 10, where it's like a sort of, it's just, it has that retro look. Like, it looks just like NBA Jam, but it has modern players in it. So, you know, you can do like Kobe and Gasol or whatever for, or Kobe and, what's that guy? You guys probably, I don't know how much you follow basketball. But then you can have LeBron and Shaq. Just awesome pairings. It'd be so good.
Yes.
And since they have NBA licenses, they shouldn't have a problem with that.
Right.
Yeah. I also want the wrongs of the past to be righted with the Michael Jordan DLC.
God.
Oh, that one guy who just got arrested for Arenas, yeah.
Oh, Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, he should have pistols. He should be able to shoot people. It should be a special ability.
Now, that's what I call a shot clock.
Oh. Wait, was that Devontae West? Or am I thinking of someone else?
Devontae West plays for the Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the kind of guy who would shoot you on a street corner, though.
He's hilarious.
But I'm excited for that. Also, did you see this thing? Somebody was trying to talk to the guy about Mega Man 10. He's just like, is Mega Man 10 going to have co-op? And the guy's like, I have to run away. I can't answer your question.
I'm a little pissed at this. We're still not going to tell you what this supposed hidden secret is in Mega Man 9. Because you know what the problem is now? If it's not, like, the coolest thing ever, it's going to be, like, such a disappointment.
The only thing I can think of now is if it has something to do with, like, connecting to Mega Man 10. Like, maybe it'll be like you can play as Bass in Mega Man 9 or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you just didn't know it or something.
Like cool. Pretty much like a Sonic and Knuckles thing. Like, plug in Sonic 2 to Sonic and Knuckles, you can play as Knuckles now.
Or if the final level was in 16-bit graphics.
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
Avant-garde or something.
Ooh, good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Okey-doke. You guys ready for the quiz?
Indeed.
All right. 5 questions plus the bonus question.
Oh, man.
First question. What year was the first Devil May Cry released?
2001.
Okay, 2001.
Correct.
Yay.
Finish this sentence. I am Andrew Ryan, and I am here to ask you a question.
Is a man something about his sweat on his brow? Fuck.
Is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow?
Very good.
Yeah.
Number 3. You're 2 for 2 so far. It's good. Name Link's sidekick from the Phantom Hourglass.
Oh, fuck.
Linebeck.
Yeah.
So far, David's been doing very well this quiz. Question 4. What year was the first Golden Sun released?
That was also 2001, wasn't it? Or was it 02? I know it was at least out in 02, because I hadn't lost it in a bus.
It was 2000... What else came out that year? It was the same year as Halo.
So yeah, 2001.
Correct.
Sweet.
Question 5. Okay, you need just one more of these next two questions to win here.
Oh my god.
The creators of Golden Sun, Camelot, also made a popular Sega RPG series. Name it.
Shining, whatever the
fuck. Yeah, I was going to say Shining Force.
Yes, the Shining Force series.
Sweet.
All right, bonus question. You could get a perfect score here.
Oh my god.
What year was the first Jak and Daxter released?
That was also... It was 2000?
It was either 2000 or 2001.
I know.
I think it was...
Shit.
Let's just go 2001.
Yeah, because everything else has been 2001, so yeah, let's go with that.
2001.
Yes! Oh my god!
I love psyching you out with stuff like that. Like, it's not going to be the same year three times.
Did you just type, like, 2001 in the Wikipedia and look at stuff?
No, I was just kind of... I did Devil May Cry, and then I did Golden Sun. I was like, oh, well, now the third one has to just be some other 2001 game.
Oh my god, I got a... This is a 6 out of 6.
Yeah, you owe David for that one.
6 out of 5, thank you.
Very good. Yeah. You got bonus points.
That's like a 110%.
I know.
Except that mathematically
doesn't work out. You just
failed
your math right there.
Actually, it's 120%.
Anyways,
whatever.
Why don't we do the
either or?
Okay, fine.
It's 120%. God.
Enough. Quiet.
Okay.
I use my grown-up voice. All right. Time to do either or. Here's how this works. I got 10 different selections. You pick one thing or the other. And then you talk about it a little bit. Then we're going to move on to the lightning round with 5 more, and that's kind of faster pace. But I will be giving you points, so, you know, you're competing here. We're going to start with Edge Guy. So first one to him. Actually, no, let's do this. I'm thinking of a number 1 through 10. AJ, what do you think it is?
7.
David?
3.
Okay, it's 6. AJ's closer. So yeah. He'll go first. I don't know why I felt the need to do that. All right, AJ. Yeah, Bayonetta or Darksiders?
In truth, I don't know much about Darksiders, but from the little I've heard and from the bit of Bayonetta I've played, I'm going to go with Darksiders.
Why are you such a Bayonetta hater?
I'm not. I'm going to talk about that
you're
later,
not.
Actually.
Okay.
I don't quite hate. I just don't like.
He's just but creeped anyway. Out by that anatomy.
Yeah. No, Darksiders, like I said, I don't know much about it. From what I understand, it's more of a Zelda clone than a God of War clone. It looks cool. The trailers I saw looked pretty neat.
The character in it looks just like Arthas, pre-Lich King.
I like Arthas, pre-Lich King. So
he's
I'm
got
cool
that small
that
head and the giant arms and hands.
Yeah, small heads seem to be a theme between both of these games.
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but it was this pretty talented comic book artist... who did all the character design for that game.
Right, yeah, I remember there's a big name attached to it. I just can't remember
the
name.
Look that up later.
So it's kind of a slim choice, but I'm going to go with that.
David.
Well then, I'll be the Bayonetta guy.
Are you fishing for points, David?
No. I actually am more excited for Bayonetta just because I do like the Devil May Cry games. I think Hideki Kamiya is a really talented designer. And also I just like completely ridiculous bullshit. So,
very good.
I mean, while it might be, I'm definitely not going to play it with any family around, but, I think it'll be at least, fun, which is more than I can say for, a lot of Devil May Cry clones I've played.
All right, then this time we'll start with David. Tony Hawk or Dennis Dyack?
Well, Dennis Dyack is very charming. I kind of feel sorry for him, so I'll pick him. I have
AJ?
Too much sympathy.
I'll go with Dennis Dyack, only because, well, Tony Hawk's just wrong. No one likes Tony Hawk Ride at all.
At least Tony Dyack... Hawk has... Tony Hawk, we may argue, has more at stake with a game with his name on it than Dennis Dyack does.
Yeah, and plus, the thing is, too, I feel like we all owe Dyack a partial apology, because when he was calling that one console future that we all thought was absolutely ridiculous 2 years ago, people are starting to agree with.
Oh, well, how is that any less ridiculous? Oh,
it's
please.
Not, it's it
oh,
is less
please.
Ridiculous. It is.
How so? Why? Because... Well, is this because of that on live? Is that why you think this?
Yeah.
Oh,
listen,
God.
Fuck off. Listen, not because it's going to happen this year, but because we do realize maybe in 5 years, yeah, that's probably going to be the case. And we kind of realize that's what he meant. He didn't mean only PlayStation or only Xbox. He just meant there's not only, like, there's just going to be one service that you use.
Oh, so Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo will stop making consoles in 10 years.
Maybe. 10 years?
Maybe. Yeah, sure. I need
maybe
to write this down.
Maybe we'll
myself.
Just be making the boxes that connect to the whatever service.
Oh, yeah, I'm though. Sure. Yeah, I'm sure. How do you play a Wii game on live?
Use a Wii controller made by Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo will go out of their way to support a system that is going to make them antiquated.
After they're already antiquated, sure.
Yeah.
Look at Sega.
Sega
was
there.
Well, Sega pissed in the pool.
Right.
Okay, but yeah.
No one came and took Sega out of the business.
Mike, look at the Dreamcast in 2001 when it died.
Yeah.
And then flash forward 10 years earlier. Did you think Sega was going to die?
I think Sega's an exception, not the standard. Even Nintendo.
I'm just saying, it's possible. In 1991, when you were playing Sonic the Hedgehog in your Sega Genesis.
I was five! I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't care about the 10.
We also didn't really. The video game market was still fairly undefined. We don't really.
All I'm saying
look,
is that.
Look, AJ, look, if your
years.
Argument is that anything can happen, sure, I agree with you. Maybe we'll all be dead and video games won't exist anymore. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't predict that. What?
Well, maybe fine. It'll be a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to be, we're only going to have one console then.
Then all of our video games will finally have colors.
The console of Eli.
Indeed.
All right, AJ, your turn. Again. Okay. Daikatana or Duke Nukem Forever?
Daikatana actually came out. And according to hints from the voice actor of Duke Nukem Forever, it may not actually be dead after all. So just for that, actually, I'm going to go Duke Nukem Forever, because even after it's canceled, there's still people who think it's going to come out.
David?
Yeah, I have to go with Duke Nukem Forever. It's clearly a very ambitious project.
Oh, come on, guys. Suck it down. Daikatana.
Yeah, Daikatana, or Daikatana, because I refuse to say it the improper way you do.
No, Daikatana.
It did have better marketing than Duke Nukem or any subsequent game will ever have.
Actually, Daikatana's marketing would have worked perfect for a Duke Nukem game.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
just insult your users on a big splash page.
Well, it's also...
Suck it down.
It's very much Sega 1991-92.
Very much. Isn't it interesting how much the industry has changed where Duke Nukem is suddenly so old? You know what I think is interesting? I think if Wind Waker never happened, and Zelda always looked like Ocarina of Time style, and they showed off Wind Waker for the first time today, I think the reaction to that would have been immediately positive, whereas back in 2001, it was immediately negative.
You
know
mean,
what I'm
like,
saying?
If Nintendo still had the Wii and whatever else?
What does it have to do with Duke Nukem?
It's just the video gaming landscape has changed so much since 1997 when that was announced.
No, because Duke Nukem used to be a point of that was like the best we had to offer.
Well, Duke Nukem existed because that was the prime of Stallone and Schwarzenegger and all those guys, and he was a parody of all of them.
Yeah,
they're not making movies really too much. I mean, yes, Rocky and the new.
Okay,
Rambo,
yeah,
but
the new Rocky was pretty sweet, so I don't want to hear anything. Anyways, all right, start with David. Army of Two or Kane and Lynch? Which crappy co-op-y shooter series you like more?
Yeah, I know. I got bored with both of those. I guess I'll go with Kane and Lynch since it disappointed me less. I was actually interested in Army of Two. I actually couldn't give a crap about Kane and Lynch before it came out, and I had a semi-okay time playing it in co-op.
Kane and Lynch's greatest legacy will still be the whole Gertzman gay thing, sadly.
Yeah.
This Army of Two is just remembered as kind of a mediocre game. Although they both have sequels coming out.
Yeah.
AJ, how about you?
Could be good, maybe.
I've only ever played the demo of Kane and Lynch. I don't think I've ever actually played any Army of Two, although I actually might have, but the fact that I can't remember isn't very telling. I'd say at least Kane and Lynch had a better story.
Sure.
So I'll go with that. Didn't have inappropriate fist bumps.
Right, well, that was the highlight of Army of Two, was playing that with a friend and constantly making him stop what he was doing to fist bump or do an air guitar solo. Because if you did it right next to them, you could also hit them, and it would cause them to stop whatever they were doing. So that's I sat next to my friend doing that constantly so that he would get really pissed off. It's like yelling, over here, over here, over here, in Diablo.
I remember that.
AJ, yeah. Splinter Cell Conviction or Bioshock 2?
I'm actually going to go with Splinter Cell Conviction on this one. I mean, I think that both are going to be very good. But whereas I feel like Splinter Cell Conviction, like, they took a series that gave it a break, then they tried to reboot it once, said this isn't working, we want to take our time, we want to get this right. I feel like this is going to be a game that's going to be very well made, and it was given the time it needed. Bioshock 2 has, like, 5 teams from across the world working on it. It was clearly the first Bioshock was Ken Levine telling the story. He was done with it. He walked away from it. 2K said, eh, we want some money. We're going to get some good guys. We're going to get a good team. We're gonna put some effort into this.
Is Susan O'Connor involved in that? Because she was the person really responsible for writing Bioshock.
I don't know.
Is the argument that 2 years isn't enough time to make a sequel? Because Uncharted 2 happened in 2 years.
No, that's not so much my argument. I'm saying the game was made...
Why? Because the first one made money? Sure. Why is Splinter Cell Conviction being made?
Yeah, I realize I'm being a little contradictory here. It's just that the things that are being shoehorned into Bioshock 2, like multiplayer, I just don't think that needs multiplayer at all. It's decisions like that make me worried about it.
Fair enough. David?
Kind of torn, because the whole... The violence in Splinter Cell Conviction, just the coldness and the over-the-topness of it. Oh, I don't know if it's totally over-the-top, but it kind of turns me off to it. But
you like that about Bayonetta.
Bayonetta is just completely ridiculous. It doesn't actually have blood and people screaming for their lives.
Okay.
Meanwhile, you're slamming this dude's head against the sink after he's told you he'll talk. And it just seems like, I don't know, I belong on Guantanamo Bay or something.
Right.
I guess I'll go with Splinter Cell Conviction because they are doing some interesting things with the gameplay. But Bioshock 2 still could be interesting. I'm wondering... We'll see if it actually shows through that it's being developed in multiple spots across the world. If it seems completely schizophrenic, it'll at least be interesting.
It's interesting to me how shortly it took for the Bioshock franchise to kind of unendear itself... For what I don't know. I really don't know the reason for that. I guess the first Bioshock was kind of seen as something of an underdog because it was an original IP, and now people resent the fact that it's a franchise and stuff. That's all I can say. Anyways, next, David. New Zelda game should be traditional, or new Zelda game should be original.
Why would anybody pick the first one?
Well, there's a risk involved. It might be bad.
Yeah, but I'd rather have a bad, interesting game than something that bores me shitless.
So, if did the Twilight Princess bore you shitless?
Not quite, but it got close in some points.
AJ?
I'd say that
finish up.
Yeah, if they did a Majora's Mask-style sequel, that would be probably my game of the year. Because
so Majora's Mask is... You wouldn't say that was too... That wasn't very traditional.
No. That was, I mean, it still kept certain ideas. You still have advancement and all that crap. But it at least played with the structure a lot, and it did a lot of interesting things. I think that if they at least showed that level of creativity in it, I would be very happy, as opposed to just making a very baroque Twilight Princess-style Zelda game.
AJ?
Yeah, I mean, Twilight Princess was basically almost up-res version of Ocarina of Time, and quite frankly, I never finished Twilight Princess because kind of got bored. You know, I was on the last dungeon. I mean, we know this game's going to be... The new one's going to be different insofar as that it uses Wii Motion Plus, but we don't really know how much that's going to affect the game. But, like, I mean, if I'm playing a game where I go into the fire dungeon, the water dungeon, the ice dungeon, the wind dungeon, and I get the boomerang and the bow and the boots, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
I kind of, you know me, I kind of feel like they're not going to be able to top Wind Waker no matter what they do. That's me. I just think, you know, that's me. No, despite the crap I was giving you, David, I actually do agree with you. I think they need to do something. Even, well, I'll talk about I'll talk about the new one, Spirit Tracks. I want to say Phantom or Spirit Tracks. Yeah. And while it's still fun, it's still great because, you know, it's Zelda. At the same time, I'll get into it more, but it's starting to get a little predictable.
Yeah, but at the same time, well, I've been playing it too. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right, we'll move on. AJ, Natal or Game Room?
Natal. I mean, Game Room is ultimately a way for me to play old arcade games that I've played before and don't particularly care too much to play again unless it's something really good, but I haven't really seen anything that's like, oh, God, I got to drop $5 on that.
You don't love Atari 2600 games?
You know what? I could play this for free in a browser, I'm pretty sure, somewhere, so, yeah, I'm not too worried about that.
And none of them are worth playing.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, honestly, I'm sorry to people who have a nostalgic soft spot for those games. I don't, and I've tried some, and they're not very good.
It's yeah.
Except for Warlords.
Yeah, if like, that's an exception.
If you get four people playing Warlords, that's good.
David.
If they were to actually do something interesting with Game Room, that. I mean, I really like old video games. So if they could put on more obscure stuff, like if they put on Cannon Dancer, that would be really great because I still have only played a little bit of it because it's bitch to emulate. But things like that, or just like random games that I like that I'm totally blanking on now. Fuck it. But good arcade games.
Right.
Also, you know what else would be phenomenal? I doubt this will happen. Is if it could somehow look at your XBLA library at the games that are pretty much just straight up arcade ports, things like Mortal Kombat 2 or Ultimate Mortal Kombat, I guess, on the 360, or even shit like Pac-Man. If it could take those and just put them into your game room, that'd be cool.
It'd be neat if they made like, I think it'd be neat if they made arcade cabinets for almost every game. Like, let's say you had the Braid arcade cabinet, you can put it in your room and stuff like that. That would be kind of neat. If it was like, you know, like how everything has to have a cover art, you know, have to make them have to have an arcade cabinet, even if it's just basically stickers and stuff. Or, you know, if they wanted to, they can make something crazy looking. Like, what if the arcade cabinet for Braid, for example, looked like a giant hourglass or something neat like that. That would be kind of neat.
Like all those crazy-ass arcade machines back in the 90s and 80s.
Right, exactly. When they were like, quick, look, play us.
Yeah.
All right,
but no,
Dave.
It got my attention like Dirk the Daring.
Dave, Ed, Call of Duty Vietnam or Call of Duty the MMO?
Oh, God. Well, I couldn't give less of a crap about MMOs, so probably Vietnam, even though I'd be terrified to see how they handled that.
AJ?
Because...
No, I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off too soon. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you've... played through Modern Warfare 2 and talk to anybody who's actually been in the army about it, they tend to think it's pretty ridiculous. I'm not quite so hopeful for Vietnam being a respectful display of what happened on either side.
You could get away with it with World War 2 because World War 2 has been so serialized at this point.
Yeah.
That,
and
you know,
so much... People like try and make it like it's good. It's practically a battle between good and evil at this point,
right?
Even if that's not always the case.
AJ,
I'm gonna go with MMO. Really, with maybe the exception of Battlefield Vietnam, which is pushing it. There's never really been a good Vietnam game, and people have tried throughout the years, which leads me to believe that Vietnam just isn't really a good setting for a game. I think a lot of it has to do with the way that war was fought. It was very unconventional. It was a lot of guerrilla tactics, and I just feel like it wouldn't translate well into a game. Whereas, I mean, let's face it, Call of Duty multiplayer is very MMO-ish already. I feel like that's kind of the next evolution of what they're doing in the multiplayer space, so I say go for that.
Okay, AJ. Heaven. Heavy Rain or Alan Wake?
Heavy Rain... I kind of like the fact that Heavy Rain, I mean, I kind of hate to go with David Cage. It's not a video game, but it is more of like an interactive fiction experience sort of thing. Whereas Alan Wake, it has like the kind of light combat mechanic thing going for it. I guess that game's going to live or die by how fun that is, I think. And I'm not too hopeful for it, because frankly, combat and survival horror games always frustrates me. That's why, like, if anything, I'd be interested to try that Silent Hill Shattered Memories, because there is no combat.
You should. It's great.
I know. Yeah, it's on my to-do list once we hit a dry spell here, which isn't going to be for a few months, it looks like. But yeah, so I'll say Heavy Rain.
All right. David?
I'm going to go for Alan Wake. Basically, everything I've seen for Heavy Rain has kind of made me less and less excited for it ever since they did that that first trailer wherever they had the wife come in and talk about killing her husband to show off the animation or whatever. But all the gameplay looks like a bunch of QTE stuff, which is really my least favorite part of Indigo Prophecy. I liked the part where you were walking around the world, interacting with things in kind of weird ways that tried to mimic the way your hands moved. But Alan Wake, there at least, yeah, it does have some combat, but it's made by people who make competent combat. Like, Remedy made Max Payne, and I like that. So I think they'll at least be able to handle that. And whether or not it's actually an interesting story, it could at least be satisfying on a mechanical level, which Heavy Rain to me does not look like. It looks kind of like Dragon's Lair.
All right, here's the last one.
Less consequence.
David, God of War clones or Zelda clones?
Zelda clones. I mean, I'm not particularly fond of God of War in the first place. It's fine, but doesn't do much for me. Whereas Zelda used to be my favorite franchise. There aren't that many Zelda clones, but the few that exist are pretty damn good. Like, I don't know, Okami and Mega Man Legends. Mega Man Legends 2 is probably in my top 10 favorite games of all time, so.
AJ?
Yeah, I'll say Zelda clones. Again, I feel like you can make a Zelda clone and still be able to make, like, your own game with that. And you also have cool homages, like 3D.GameHero or whatever that is. That looks really good.
Yeah.
Whereas any God of War clone is perpetually going to be compared to God of War, and it's never going to be as good. Dante's Inferno is going to face that problem.
And quite often, they just don't even bother trying to do anything creative with it. Like,
yeah, I mean,
want to say that's endemic to the genre, the God of War clone genre, but
if you could take two TVs with a PS3 running God of War 3 and Dante's Inferno, and somehow have the controller control both games at the same time, you could probably play them both at the same time and be fine.
Yeah.
All right, guys, ready for the lightning round?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to ask a question. There's no turns. You just say it as soon as you can. Speed counts in the lightning round. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Dash Rendor or Kyle Katarn?
Kyle Katarn.
Silver Sonic or Metal Sonic?
Say it again. I couldn't hear you.
Silver Sonic or Metal Sonic?
Metal Sonic.
Wally or Up?
Up.
Actually, I changed my answer. Wally. It's better.
Stars or Shines?
Stars.
Stars. No, Shine. Shine get.
Potato or Potato?
Potato.
Okay. AJ won a little bit on speed in the lightning round, but it wasn't enough to overcome a 106-point lead by David to AJ's 84.
Schooled.
All right. Good job, David. Now let's move on. We've been doing our Game of the Year countdown. We did our number fives last week. I picked Ratchet and Clank, A Crack in Time.
And I went with Brutal Legend.
So what's your number four pick, AJ?
My number four pick is Batman Arkham Asylum.
I still feel bad I didn't finish this. And I feel like if I did finish this game, it would have been on my list. I don't know why I didn't finish it. Sometimes things could come up and you forget about it.
I forget you didn't finish it, actually, because, like, this is one of those games, again, like you say, a lot of people finish it, which kind of tells you it's good.
Right. And then, you know, of course, and then a lot of people complain about the ending.
Yeah. But, I mean, these guys, after 20 years of people trying, have finally made a not only a good Batman game, but a really good Batman game and just a really good game.
What about that Batman Returns game for the Super Nintendo? That was a beat-em-up.
That game was shit.
That game was sweet.
We thought it was sweet because it had digitized graphics, and we thought that was the future when we were kids.
Yeah, I hated that game, actually. But Batman NES by Sunsoft, pretty sweet, even if it was retardedly hard.
Yeah. But, I mean, just everything about this game, like, the gameplay was really good. People say, like, the stealth was kind of contrived, that, like, you know, you swung from gargoyle to gargoyle. But it didn't need to be more complicated than that. Yeah, that was the thing. It was fun. I didn't play this game thinking it was going to be a hardcore stealth sim. It's a Batman game.
Not to mention,
you know, it's okay
to
be a little contrived.
Yeah, I can't think of many stealth games that aren't completely contrived. Like, why the hell, after they've spotted me, are they just returning to their post after 100 seconds?
Because, quite frankly, that's why stealth in, like, Metal Gear Solid 1 was my favorite of any Metal Gear game. It was binary. It was, are you in their cone or not? That's what made that work for me. And then, too, I mean, it really had a good story to it. I was very entertained by the story. The voice acting was excellent across the board. It looked really good. You know, I mean, I felt like Batman playing that game. I thought it was great. There was no greater feeling than looking down at a room, seeing 20 guys, three of whom with guns, figuring out how you're going to isolate those guys, get in there, and just beat the shit out of everybody. No one touches you, and then you just swoop off, and there's just this mess of, like, groaning guards lying on the ground. And you're like, yeah, I did that.
All right. Want to hear my number four?
Yes.
My number four is... Oh, never mind then.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my number four...
I desperately want to hear your number four. Sorry, Mike.
Yay! It's Dragon Age Origins.
Very nice.
Which was, you know, not a game I would have thought would have been on my list.
Since me neither.
I generally...
I am still shocked to this day that you not only liked it, but beat it.
Yeah, I did. I beat it before you.
Yeah, I know.
But, no, I did enjoy it. I played the 360 version. As much crap as people give that compared to the PC version, I never tried a PC version. I was pretty impressed by the way they got a game that complicated to work on the 360. I never really had problems with it.
I didn't either. It worked well, I thought.
Yeah, so I was impressed. You know, it was a big game. It was a fun game. I still think it was ugly. I think it could have looked better. It's confused me that these were the people who made Mass Effect, which was such a good-looking game.
Like I said, I think this game was in development before Mass Effect. So actually, even though Mass Effect 1 came out much earlier, it technically had more advanced technology running it.
Yeah, okay. This was 2006 when it started.
Yeah.
I remember it was on the first issue of Games for Windows, that stunningly successful reboot.
Oh, yeah.
How sad.
I still have to say, though, it was just like some things. Like the fact that the teeth models bug me constantly.
Yeah.
And that's something everyone always gets wrong so often is the way teeth look. And it makes all their models look so ugly and weird. And anytime they talk, it's like, what is back there behind those lips?
Well, but, yeah, it's not as bad as most people will get eyes, which are just these creepy, glassy, glazed-over things that look like either a dead person or somebody had an unfortunate accident and lost both eyes, so they had to replace them.
But, no, Dragon Age was a good game. I enjoyed it.
All right. David, what is your game of the year?
Yeah, what did you enjoy most?
So I'm going to take away any weight this decision has by saying usually I like to wait until about a couple of months into the next year to think about it, because I like to do some hindsight. But from my gut, I'd have to say probably Silent Hill Shattered Memories.
Huh. Interesting.
Very nice. Now, one criticism I heard of this game is that basically the only time anything's ever going to attack you is when everything kind of gets covered in ice.
Yes.
And because of that, it kind of kills a lot of the tension otherwise. Did you find that to be a problem?
Well, I kind of feel like a lot of reviewers who are apparently just trying to swing around their, I'm not scared of anything, bravery. But, I mean, if you're completely deaf to atmosphere, then yes, that's the case. But, I mean, it still has a creepy atmosphere, and for me, the knowledge that the ice just randomly appears out of nowhere was enough to keep me on edge when I was walking around. Not to mention, people are like, monsters aren't really a threat. Then Silent Hill 2 is the least scary game ever made. Nothing actually touched me in that game.
That's true.
So, honestly, I think a lot of the complaints are overblown.
Cool.
And I think it is definitely the best story that they've had since Silent Hill 2. I don't know if it doesn't quite top it, but it at least finally rivals it because they cut out all that stupid cultist subplot crap. So all it's right. a very personal story. They actually got it.
Well, yeah, Mike, I realize I left both of my Wiimotes at home.
Yeah, you also left your copy of Borderlands.
Shit!
Which worked out. Oh my, you know what Chris is doing?
Yeah, okay, so quick aside. So Chris and his friends are playing the new Borderlands DLC, the Mad Moxie's Arena or whatever it is.
The Gauntlet, they, basically.
Basically, they can't beat it, because they're all, him and all his friends are level 50.
The
in
max.
The scales.
Yeah.
So, they're using Mike's character, who's level 17, as a dummy host to just sit there so that they can beat it against level 17 characters with their level 50s. Basically, for no other reason than to get the achievement.
This took them like not, 8 hours.
They're not getting any experience, any items. They're just farming achievements, basically, and they paid money to do it.
You know what the upside was? The upside was I got the achievements for not playing it. But this took them 8 hours. At one point, Chris was asleep. And I had to wake him up.
What the hell?
And then at the end, they were like, "This was that wasn't very good DLC." I'm like, "Well, of course you didn't enjoy it. You made it work.
You cheated it.
Not to
mention, you actually try."
Jeez, I can't believe they hadn't already broken that game horribly, because all of everybody else I was playing it with has just like gotten it to the point where the game is just like pathetically easy, and they can walk through it.
Well, it's not, it wasn't so much a matter of ease, but, like, they made it easy, but you still had to go through the waves and, you know, at least hit everybody one time. It just took a long time.
It's something like 5 rounds, and each round is 20 waves, so it's like 100 waves. And he's like, "Oh, my God, so much." I'm like, "Well, you're not really playing it right. This is like agreeing to play, like, 20 innings of baseball against a peewee team and complaining that it's boring."
Right. Anyways... Besides, enough of what he played. What did we play?
I got 2 demos to go over.
I played games.
I'll get the. Well, here, this ties into a real game. Did you get Bayonetta?
I did buy Bayonetta.
Okay, let's talk about that, because I played the English 360 demo, because before I'd only played the PS3 Japanese demo, and as everyone knows by now, the PS3 version of that game is shit. And having played both now, it's really shit. Here's still my fundamental problem. It's not as bad as I thought. I'm gonna nibble on some crow here. It's better than I thought. I kind of found myself enjoying it. Having an understanding now of what's it called, Witch Time.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what that was before. That makes the game a lot more fun. The problem is this game is very still to me concerned of just throwing a bunch of shit at you and overwhelming your senses, and I have no idea what the fuck's going on most of the time.
But see, this is your problem, and this is the same thing you have with DHG here. You don't give yourself time to adapt to these things.
No, that's fine, but the demo throws you, the first thing of the demo is you're like falling on the side of a clock off a cliff. I have no idea what the fuck's going on, and shit is kicking my ass. I beat that segment with literally a pixel of health left. I'm like, oh, thank God.
You know, in the game, that's actually just like... There's narration done over that. You don't even have a health bar. It's like, it's almost more of a cutscene.
Well, they should have done that, because then after that's done and the game started in the train station or whatever, I still only had a pixel of health. So I'm like, great, I'm going to walk around for 5 minutes. When I trigger the first fight, I'm just going to die, which I did.
But there's so many checkpoints. Didn't it just take you like right back to that?
Yeah, it did take me back. But I was like, well, that was stupid. Why didn't they just give me full health at the beginning of this?
Because a lot of the point is that you get graded... Like, the levels aren't very small, and you get greater how many times you're killed. And you get to get medals. That's a lot of the replay
value.
For
me, this is just a personal preference thing. And David, I know you like this stuff.
I do, too.
The kooky, it's funny because it's Japanese and over-the-top and bizarre. I just find that annoying. Shit, like that first line of text on the screen is like, "In a world of light and dark where perception is reality." That doesn't mean anything.
Oh, well, yeah, I usually skip those cutscenes.
That is a completely meaningless phrase. And this shit, like, the first time that these dark angel things or whatever appear, like, it's like, blah, 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 applause. I'm like, does the game want me to clap? Like, what the fuck does that mean? Then the next thing comes, and it's like, beloved. I'm like, this is nonsense.
It's nonsense, but it's unabashedly nonsense.
I know. That just doesn't do it for me.
Why not? You like movies like that.
Sometimes. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
Did you love Shoot 'Em Up?
Basically, Yeah, that movie's sweet.
See?
Here's the thing. I feel like every review of this game basically just needs to say, Did you like Devil May Cry?
But it's Great. Better than Devil May Cry.
You're going to love this. Yeah, then you're going to love this. Okay, then it's going to say, did you kind of like Devil May Cry? Great, you might like this. Did you hate Devil May Cry? Yes? Stay the fuck away
See,
from
I don't, this game. I don't think your enjoyment of Bayonetta has to directly correlate to your enjoyment of Devil May Cry. There's a lot of similarities.
I think it feels pretty different. I mean, yeah, it is a character action game and all that crap, but it also has... I mean, it's a lot more complex, but it's also much more forgiving.
It is. It's much more dodge-focused, like you said with that whole witch time thing.
And I like
much
that.
More it's much more timing-focused than Devil May Cry was.
Here's what I'll say. I get the sense that that demo, and even just hearing you say the way that that opening has no health bar and there's narration, makes me think that they just didn't present this demo very well. I do want to try the full game. I want to try it. I want to give it an honest effort to try.
Okay, but I will say, if you're annoyed by all the over-the-topness of it, that's not going to go away.
I feel maybe it's just I got to get in the mindset too. I don't know. But
I feel like
what I played, I was like, I feel like this could be good. I understand why people would like it. I still just don't think it might not be for me.
You've been kind of anti-Japanese lately. And I don't think you're going to like this if you're in that mindset. If you're in that mindset now where JRPGs are antiquated. And you know, a lot of people are in this mindset now. I made a tweet yesterday. I was just like, why do people not like JRPGs anymore? I got like 20 responses from people.
Yeah, it was a big Twitter.
It was. I was like, okay, yeah, touched the nerve there. But you know, some of it I feel like are we becoming bitter because Japanese gamers so clearly hate Western games all of a sudden now?
They do too.
They do.
They really do.
I don't think they ever really cared. I don't think they hate them. They just don't give a shit.
I think that's almost. Isn't it worse to be apathetic to something than to hate it? To hate it at least means you care.
Yeah, but I think in the case of like a video game, it's probably more like, it's probably worse to hate it because then you just get all that crappy online. We're gonna shit all over your opinion because you're wrong.
Right.
Like I did.
Right.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about the game?
Look, the game Lizard Dies by combat system, and it has the best combat system of an action game that I've played. So there you go. That's what you want to ask.
I will say I do like the combat system actually quite a bit. Like I said, I can't keep track.
I'll tell
what's
you
going
what.
On screen,
I prefer
getting hit all the time.
I prefer the honest ridiculousness to this than say God of War, where it takes itself very seriously and is still fucking stupid.
Yeah, that really
kind of
annoy.
That Gears of War conundrum. I can understand that argument.
Like I said before, God of War 2 totally lost me, where you're just walking around killing every major literary character in Greek mythology. It just got stupid.
It probably doesn't help that I spent entirely too much time studying Latin, Greek, and the classics, because that whole thing just was like, what the hell is this bullshit?
And once again, if I thought God of War was taking itself less seriously, it'd be fine. But God of War takes itself very seriously.
Yeah, and I played the God of War 3 demo, and it's just like in the first 10 minutes, I was repulsed because you rip off Helios's head.
It's just like
what the hell is this bullshit? He's an immortal god. What the hell is wrong with you people?
Well, he's not dead. He just yanked his head off.
You can't pull a fatality on him.
Yeah, well, that's why...
he uses his head to reveal hidden passages.
Yeah, which is actually kind of cool, but... that's why God of War is the Mortal Kombat of character action games.
Yeah, very true. Alright then, what other demo did you play, AJ? The Dark Void demo? I didn't play that yet.
Dark Void demo. Oh, man. Okay, so my love of the entire Crimson Skies series is well documented. And this is essentially that team that made Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge. When you're playing this game... and you're in the jetpack, it's basically, if you were to take Nathan Zachary from Crimson Skies, take him out of his plane and just have him flying.
In the Rocketeer
suit. Set it in the future.
Suit.
Yeah, in the Rocketeer suit, set in the future with aliens, with the same controls, that's what this is. And it's sweet. Also, and they did make a big deal out of this, and I'm starting to think maybe even studios are becoming aware of the fatigue of this, but the main character is voiced by Nolan North.
Oh, really? Oh, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Who else would do it? I ask you.
I know.
Come on,
but,
guys.
There are no other voice actors.
When you are flying like that, it's friggin' sweet. It is Crimson Skies, and that makes me so happy. It's got the thing where, you know, you click the thumbstick, and then you do the two sticks in different directions to pull off different stunts and stuff. It's great. They nailed that part. what I was worried about with this game was how good would the on-foot parts be. And, I mean, they're not mind-blowing, but they're good. You know, it's got a cover system. You can still use the jetpack to hover and stuff, which is actually a lot of fun. And, like, I like the... In the demo, one of the things you have to do is fly up to this, like, shield generator platform, go inside of it, disable it. Once you disable it, just a shit ton of guys come out. And my basically what I did is I just started running, and then once I realized I had a clear line of sight to get out, I just jumped in the air, turned on the jetpack, and just flew the fuck out of there. And it was really cool. Like, it had this great sense of, I'm out of here. Like, goodbye, I can fly, see you later. The one thing now that worries me about the full game when it comes out, from what I could gather from the demo, this mission was actually like chapter 4 or something like that. It said what chapter was on the loading screen, but this was clearly the first mission where you get the jetpack, which makes me worried that there's going to be a whole bunch of the game that's just the shooting.
Jedi Outcast Syndrome.
Exactly. I don't understand why studios don't have this figured out yet. Because, I mean, I love Jedi Outcast, and a lot of people like that game, but you never hear people talking about how great the first 3 levels were. So I hope that's not the case, but I think it is. But the thing is, I liked what I played in that demo so much, I'm willing to put up with that bullshit to get to the good part. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about it today. I think I'm probably going to actually end up getting this on PC because it'll be cheaper and it has the physics acceleration and it supports a gamepad, so I could just plug my MacBook into my TV and grab my gamepad and go.
I played Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks.
So did I.
How's that?
We can talk about... Look, and basically, the thing this game has over Phantom Hourglass is that you don't have that one annoying dungeon.
Yeah. It has... It's presented as that. It has, like, a central dungeon that you keep returning to. But they might as well... Yeah, I wish they had just, like, split it up into 4 parts so people would shut the fuck up about it. Because honestly...
Yeah, because you don't play the same section over and over,
no,
right?
No. It kind of creates... You just go back there and go on another level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they even play a little bit differently. They add more elements and crap. So, mm-hmm.
And there's been some neat things. The whole mechanic with Zelda, and you kind of control her separately when she possesses an enemy armor, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot less annoying.
And I was really impressed with everything. The one thing I wasn't impressed with, though, I got to like the first proper dungeon, and the dungeon itself was so uninteresting and so standard. And just like the look of it, It looked like they released the Zelda dungeon tools and some fan made a dungeon in like not very much time. The dungeon itself was not impressive.
Very cookie cutter.
It was very cookie cutter, and it was very, and you know, and like I said, you know, it's once you're getting that problem where, you know, play throughout the dungeon, get the item, use the item to get past some invisible wall from the earlier part of the dungeon, go fight the boss with surprise that item, you know. Mm-hmm.
You probably won't use that item ever again. But
right.
And it also starts off on a bad foot because that item is a blowing item.
Right. I hate that shit.
It's so, okay with me because I always just play these games at night or in the bathroom, so I'm never in.
Yeah, but I think a guy's like Beige playing this game on the bus, and I'm like, don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, in that case, I mean, once again, it's just a blowing item, so you can just rub your mic or something. It creates about the same effect because it's just measuring volume. It's not like Brain Aged where you have to...
Right.
Blue! Piece of shit. God damn it.
It is... The instrument is kind of neat, though, the windpipe. You have to blow to play that. That's kind of neat. It's gimmicky, but it's fun.
Yeah, but I think this excels over... Especially once you get to the second dungeon, it excels over Phantom Hourglass in that it has a lot more... It's a lot more interesting in that it's much better designed. It has more interesting level layouts, more interesting things to do.
Right. I feel like the stuff you do in between levels is better than in Phantom Hourglass, at least so far.
Sure. Well, you don't waste time by drawing unnecessary maps and crap.
You know, that was kind of interesting. That was like one of the big things with Phantom Hourglass was taking notes. It was kind of neat, really.
Not the note thing. That I'm fine with. But, I mean, like, how you had to draw your path with sailing. So you inevitably took a little bit longer
because you
can't draw perfectly straight lines to where you're going.
No, yeah, I know what you mean. Have you done more than the first dungeon, though? Do they kind of get more interesting?
Yeah, they get much, much better.
Okay,
and I was
hoping that was just like the first dungeon, and it was like, you know, that's the first dungeon. It's really small and kind of not exciting.
It's like a slightly less interesting version of the Deku Tree.
Right, exactly. But at least the Deku Tree was like, at the time, that was like, oh my god, it's the first three-dimensional Zelda dungeon.
Yeah, and whenever you go back to play the Deku Tree now, it's kind of boring up until the boss. But even so.
Right.
If this were your first Zelda game, you wouldn't care.
Right, exactly. But, you know, all the more reason
why. For the
most
part. Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this off again. I don't know if we're going to need another DS Zelda game after this one.
Well, I think this is definitely a step up. It has a lot more creativity to it, and I do think that if they were to keep on extrapolating and doing weird stuff, once again, this is strictly in theory, I would be in favor of it. Because, you know, if Zelda used to be my favorite series until, you know, it just kind of got repetitious.
Right.
But I'd still be in favor, and I still play all the games.
This might be blasphemy, but I would almost be interested in a Zelda game that was, like, just really linear. Like, this is slightly more linear because you don't really have the overall per se or, like, some big ocean going through tracks. I think it'd be interesting if you beat a dungeon or whatever, and you just, here's the next thing, and do that. And it's not that typical, here's that one item, use that. It, like, almost more Metroid-y, I guess, in a way, where it's, like, one big area you're in. There's not so much...
See, I'd be interested...
There could be so much downtime.
In a game that was really non-linear, like the original Zelda, where you could actually take the dungeons in whatever order you wanted. I mean,
that would be interesting, too. But
because, sequence breaking in the original Zelda and Metroid and things like that, I thought that was really cool. I'd like to see more of that, where you can take things on your own terms.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that now they're so entwined in story and crap like that, that having the... ability to go to whichever dungeon you wanted would be not in service of that. So,
anything else notable you played, David?
Yeah, I played a couple things. I'll just hit on a couple of them really quickly. Demon's Crest is a really cool Super Nintendo game. It plays a lot like Mega Man X, but with the Ghosts and Goblins characters. You play as the red demon who snatches away your girlfriend. So, oh, what the hell?
We don't want to throw you off or anything, David, but we're sending you IMs.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think it would mess you up, sorry.
Yeah, well, I just got a loud noise right in my ears, and I was like, oh, Jesus, the hell was that?
Anyways.
So, yeah, you can stick to walls, and you get other demons' power-ups, and you use them much like Mega Man X, and it's really fun, except that it's retardedly hard, and some... especially in the opening areas. Let's see, I played a bit of Ikechan, which is... you're at least familiar with Cave Story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's made by the same guy. You play... It's got a similar style in that you play as a little squid underwater. So you... It's an exploratory game, much like Cave Story. It has the same kind of graphic style where it's pixelated but still very attractive. It still manages to communicate its art style very well. But it's a Metroidvania-style exploration game, except it's only about an hour long. But that was really interesting and very charming. You know, if you have some free time, I'd definitely recommend playing it, because anything Daisuke Amaya does is pretty much gold. I played a bit of Radical Dreamers, because I'm going to be doing a Let's Play of that soon. So, look forward to that, I guess. Are you guys familiar with Radical Dreamers?
Oh, no. That's the... No. That's the text adventure game that's kind of the sequel to Chrono Trigger, right?
Yeah.
Aha, I'm smart.
Oh, wow.
Take that.
Chrono Cross.
A lot of the plot
basically...
is actually kind of recycled for Chrono Cross, isn't it?
Yeah, Chrono Cross is basically like a remake.
Mm-hmm.
With less hideous graphics. Because I don't know what the hell they were doing, but they used like pre-rendered graphics, but they had this kind of bizarre anime style, so whenever you see this one chick, she just has these gigantic eyes and it's pre-rendered and really nasty looking. It's just, oh god, kill it with fire. Moment. Some kind of horrible monster escaped from the random battles, which are also text-driven and really, really cheesy. But... I guess I'll go over that more whenever I do the Let's Play, so look for that within the next few months. And then lastly, I played through a bit of PlayStation, Phantasy Star Zero, which abbreviates
that's
to
the
PS.
DS one, yes?
Yes.
How is it?
It's incredibly Phantasy Star Online-like.
Like Dreamcast Phantasy Star Online?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is why I'm trying to rally more people to get it so that I have more people to play with. Because I was playing with a couple friends, but they don't have good internet, so I can't play with them regularly. But it's basically like Phantasy Star Online, but with a few less options for character customization, like just whenever you're making the aesthetic character. And it also has a really crappy, really terrible art style. I hate it. It's this cutesy modern anime garbage. But other than that,
Bakugan.
Ugh.
Does it look like Bakugan?
A little. I don't even.
I wouldn't even know what Bakugan looks like, to be honest. I just know that's a big thing now.
Yeah. Just rest assured, it looks stupid. It looks like generic warmed over crap. And same goes for the story, but which they force down your throat in single player mode, as opposed to having it just be like little text terminals in Phantasy Star Online.
I miss those. Mm-hmm. I still feel like it's a license to print some friggin' money. They just put Phantasy Star Online version 2 on like XBLA and PSN.
I want the original. Screw version 2. Episode 2 or whatever.
Version 2 was the original with just some more content.
Yeah, I don't like new content.
All right.
They can you can quote DLC me on later. That. I don't like new content.
That's an excellent quote.
Anyways, hey, did you have a couple more things?
Yeah, I got two more things. They're kind of quick. So I also started playing Mass Effect on PC. But like you talked about it already, but like I played a lot of it on the 360, and I'm coming to this one. Because I bought it in the Steam sale, and it was like $5. So I was like, okay, I'll get this. If I like it better on PC, I'll try to finish this one and get Mass Effect 2 on the PC rather than 360. And I am definitely getting Mass Effect 2 on the PC. Holy God. Listen, if you play the 360 version only, sorry to tell you this, but that's the far inferior version of this game. It plays so much better on a PC. Not only just the mouse and keyboard for shooting is nice, but the way they redo the interface is so much better. So much better. Which makes me really wonder now about Dragon Age on PC.
Right.
But, I mean, wow. It's really good. Plus, what I love is I'm able to turn up all the settings and everything on my MacBook. And it, as far as I can tell, looks even a hell of a lot better than the Xbox version did. And I didn't realize, really. It's a good-looking game. It really is. You know, like how people kind of make fun of like the conversation that game for being just two people standing around talking, and that's usually the case for like the kind of inconsequential dialogues. But for the really important, like kind of key conversations in the game, they're pretty well put together.
When I was playing it, and there was a point where it was like some cave was collapsing, and they gave me two options. And I said the one thing to the guy, and I could pick the one option. It was like, you know, calm down or something. And he calls in the guy and says, get ready to beam us out or whatever. And I died. I tried again. I did the other option. I forget what it was called. It was like panic or something, you know. But he did the same exact thing. He just said he called the guy. And it was the same dialogue choice. That really gets on my nerves. When you make your sort of text tree just so arbitrary like that.
Yeah. Well, people love the illusion of choice.
Exactly. That's all it is. Anything else you want to say about it? Happens.
So yeah, I'm. The plan is what Mass Effect 2 comes out January 18th, 28th, something like that, yeah. Towards the end of the month.
Something.
And I have not much to do this weekend. The plan is to catch up on Lost and play a lot of Mass Effect, basically on Saturday. I'm looking very forward to it. The other thing, and I know you hate these, but I do have an iPhone game. But this is, okay, so the game is the iPhone version of Avatar, which is basically, if Avatar was released in 1999, like James Cameron wanted to do, this would have been the PlayStation 1 game movie tie-in, and we would have happily paid $50 for it and thought it was pretty decent. But, you know, it's now a $7 game on the iPhone, but it's really good, actually. Probably, like, of all, like, the 3D platformers that have a virtual control pad on it,
easily the best one of those. And, I mean, it stands on its own. It's a pretty fun game. It, you know, it's got some simple platform mechanics or some combat. It looks really good. I mean, especially for an iPhone game, but even just as a game, it looks really good. It's got a great art style. I really like it. For $7, I think it's worth a shot.
Doesn't that suck up the battery?
Yeah, any iPhone game sucks up the battery.
I mean, especially the pretty ones.
Yeah, I haven't really noticed. I mean, typically when I play it, it's when I'm in the bathroom or something, so
sure.
I just plug it in when I come out, and we're good to go.
I find it very appropriate that you're shitting while playing an iPhone game, because they're all shit.
Wow. Damn.
There it is. Anyways, with that said, let's do the...
Speaking of shit.
Okay, what are...
Yeah, actually, speaking of, let's look at these downloadable releases. WiiWare, Heron Steam Machine, Pub Darts, and Fast Draw Showdown. The Virtual Console, the SNES Classic Final Fight 3.
Garbage.
DSi, we have Trajectile, Animal Puzzle Adventure, and Hell's Kitchen Versus. On Xbox, you have the Xbox original Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, which actually a lot of people... That's like one of those games that has kind of like a cult following.
It's weird because everyone told me that game was bad when it first came out. Then like 4 months later, everyone changed their mind and said it was awesome.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes. I'll never understand
why. I know,
why.
It's very strange. It's unfortunate, too. Xbox Live Arcade and PS3 both got Matt Hazard, Bloodbath, and Beyond. Then on the PSP, we have Pinball Heroes, Bundle, Bomberman Land, and Dungeon Explorer.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
And Good Old Games has Strategic Commander, European Theater, and Restaurant Empire.
All right. Here's the retail games. We had Bayonetta for 360 and PS3. Darksiders for PS3 and 360. Divinity 2, The Ego Draconis for 360 and PC. My Fitness Coach 2, Exercise and Nutrition for the Wii. Fast Food Panic for the DS. And that's it. All right, then.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Yeah, good being on.
Yeah. You sound real sincere there.
Yeah, I sound very sincere about everything I say. This has gotten me into trouble with the police, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's skip on.
Anyways, thanks for listening to the show. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
Just want to say that the Squadron of Shame 2009 retrospective podcast is out in the wild. I'm almost done listening to it. Pete did a fantastic job with all the pictures and the enhanced podcast of this one, so definitely listen to that one. Mike, you'll be happy on your Warcraft comments. He used the You Are Die panel from the Warcraft.
Oh, man. Now I need to see that.
And then this weekend, we're going to be recording a decade retrospective. That'll probably be up in a couple weeks.
Which decade?
So keep an eye out for that. The last one.
I thought we were doing the 90s. Shit.
Well, sure. We're going to do the 70s. You can talk a lot about Pong.
There you go. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
By the way, just so you're sure that I'm not an axe murderer or something, the only reason that my snarky, sarcastic tone got me in trouble with the police is because I sound like an asshole.